Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. At Green Mountain College, which is in southern Vermont, two oxen who have spent years working on the campus farm have outlived their usefulness and have been condemned to death to become burgers for the students. Well, quite a vocal opposition has developed, and in a minute we're going to find out what's really going on there. Now, later in the show, did you hear about the new Los Angeles ban on the purchase of companion animals? Well, this is big news, and we're going to be speaking with the L.A. City Council member Paul Koretz, who led the effort, about how this ban came about and what its impact will be. But first, back to the oxen in Vermont. On the line, we have author, ethologist, and University of Colorado Professor Emeritus Mark Beckoff, who's going to give us his perspective on the situation at Green Mountain College. And I should add, something that makes it a little more controversial is the description of the mission of the college from its website, which states, "At the heart of the college's environmental mission is the 37-credit Environmental Liberal Arts General Education Program, which all GMC students complete. ELA combines the skills and content of a strong liberal arts course of study with a focus on the environment." Hi, Mark.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
Oh, Mark, I'm good. Mark, you've been blogging and covering the story of these two oxen, Bill and Lou. Describe to us what's going on in Vermont.
Well, you got it pretty much. Bill and Lou are two oxen. They served Green Mountain College for 10 years, plowing fields, and, you know, that's what oxen do. They're best friends, and now the college wants to slaughter them, murder them, kill them, serve them up as oxen burgers because they've outlived their utility. They can't work anymore. One of them is injured, and they claim that if they only kill one, which they don't need to do because they can be treated, then they need to kill both. And I always say you never would do that to your dog. If you lived with more than one dog and one dog was sick or died, you wouldn't kill the other dog. The other argument they make is that it's sustainable because Bill and Lou are going to eat grass that takes water, and that by killing them, they won't be using resources. But number one, these are two old oxen who aren't going to live that long, and if they do, that's wonderful, you know. And number two, we're not talking about a herd of oxen. This is terribly misguided. The sentiment across the world is they should live. And the other thing, Lori, is they have a free place to go. A sanctuary right near the college has offered them a free home, as have people all over the world, and I and others have offered to pay to keep them alive if need be. This is a shame.
Mark, why does the college oppose that?
Well, they oppose it because they are dedicated to sustainability, and I think they also oppose it because they don't want to feel like they've been pressured into changing their mind. So they use these very objective and impersonal philosophical and ecological arguments, but they don't take into account special cases like special friends. I mean, Bill and Lou served them selflessly for 10 years. So I think that, you know, we're hoping that maybe they'll change their mind. You know, they also say this is very educational because we're into sustainability. But the fact of the matter is, it would be more educational to just change their ways and say, you know, sometimes we just need to make special exceptions.
Right.
And Bill and Lou are special exceptions.
Right, right. It really is silly. Mark, let's take the other hand. Although there are a lot of vegans and vegetarians on campus, most students there consume meat, and I presume it's served in the cafeteria. So wouldn't it be consistent with the college's culture to slaughter and eat the oxen?
It would be, but I don't think this is a matter of meal plan. There's a lot of carnivores out there who support keeping Bill and Lou alive. I think that what happens is the argument gets deflected. People say, oh, you're just a bunch of vegans who don't want any animals eaten. Or, oh, you don't understand the different situation here. No, I find it, I fully understand it. It's not about meal plan, you know.
Right.
And number one, and number two, so Bill and Lou are supposedly going to serve up 1,000 pounds of oxen burger. And people say, well, that's better than getting it from, you know, CAFOs or slaughterhouses. Well, of course it is. But nobody said if they want to serve meat that they have to get it from CAFOs. This is a classic example where I think they are really caught between a rock and a hard place because they don't want to give in due to, quote, pressure from, you know, animal rights activists.
Right.
But that's not what the story is about. They're deflecting the attention away from who, not what, Bill and Lou are, and how they serve them selflessly.
Right. And on a similar note, just let's take a step back, if you would, for a second, Mark. Why should we care about these two old oxen when every year billions of animals are slaughtered for food, just like these animals probably will be? In fact, they've lived much longer than most livestock get to. Why the interest in these two?
Because they are individuals who are named and with personalities.
Right.
They have a very unique situation, you know, as to who they are and what they've done. And once again, I think it conflates the argument to say, well, billions are killed. Why don't we just kill these two? I know you're not
right.
saying that, but that's not the argument. The argument is the billions of animals who are killed in for food should not be. But this is a very unique case. And as a professor, former professor, but I still teach, I use this case as an example of how dialogue can really help me change my mind. I mean, every mature individual I know has changed their mind on issues like this from having dialogue. But the open dialogue has not really existed. Sure, people are posting comments, but when they held some kind of discussion at Green Mountain a few weeks ago, apparently it was supposed to be opened and they closed. So I just think that we have to look at every case as an individual case.
Right.
And we just look at Bill and Lou as sentient individuals who deserve to live.
Who have worked for the campus, who've slaved for the campus for many, many years, and this is the thanks they get.
Right. This is their thank you for selfless service. I mean,
right.
you know, in many ways, I might argue even if they didn't serve the campus, of course, they shouldn't be killed and served up.
Right.
But, yeah, that's what I mean, Lori. You got to take into account all the unique situations that we confront. It's a complex and a challenging world, and there's a lot of very difficult decisions that we need to make. And I always teach my students, you take into account friendship and kinship, and every individual counts. And that's why they count, Lori, is because there may be billions of other animals who needlessly suffer in the food industry, for example, or in research. But these are individuals, and if we're going to do right, we need to take into account the individual characteristics of every single case.
Right. It's so senseless. It's also very senseless that the university, that they, that these oxen have a place to go. A sanctuary is willing to take them, and they're still willing, wanting to slaughter these animals. So, Mark, what can my listeners do, if anything, and when are they due to be killed?
Well, they were due to be killed a couple of weeks ago. The college issued a statement saying that because of the fear that animal rights activists were going to, like, invade or do something horrible at the slaughterhouse, they've changed their mind. Well, there might be, but 99.9% of all the resistance has been peaceful and compassionate. They can write to Green Mountain College. They can go to the website for Vine Sanctuary. I've published two essays on Psychology Today that deal with Bill and Lou that have all the links. It's easy to do, and I think we must keep the pressure on.
I agree completely. Mark Beckoff, you can find him everywhere, including Psychology Today. Mark, in the last minute or two, what are you working on now?
Oh, I'm working on a few books. I've got a couple of books coming out, one children's book on the work I'm doing in China, another one on compassionate conservation, and I'm writing a book that'll be out in 2013 or 14 called Rewilding Our Hearts, and Bill and Lou are in it because they, as they should be. And your readers can find out anything they want about me, thank you, at markbeckoff.com, markbeckoff.com. And when this is posted, please let me know because I can blast the link out to thousands of people who can help Bill and Lou.
Very good. Mark Beckoff, thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
This is Dr. Lori Kirshner. You're listening to Animals Today. Check us out on the internet. We are at animalstodayradio.org. Excuse me, animalstodayradio.com, animalstodayradio.com. And after the break, we will be speaking to L.A. Councilman Paul Koretz about new laws in Los Angeles. Don't go away.
In the bushes and across, the score is with the co-pushies. could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is texting getting way out of hand? You know, I can't... Oh, please. Oh, that is funny. Where was I? Oh, yes, about texting. Pardon me.
LOL, you are my BFF.
So, like I was saying...
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now, and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-460-1140, 800-460-1140, 800-460-1140, 800-460-1140.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
Baa, baa, black sheep, have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir. Some nincompoop with pantyhose pulled over his face stole all my wool sweaters and gaming system. Luckily, the GEICO Insurance Agency recently helped me with renter's insurance. Everything stolen was replaced, and the little boy who lives down the lane was caught trying to sell it online. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Just a few weeks ago, the city of Los Angeles passed a new ordinance concerning the sale of animals purchased at pet shops. Now, with us now is L.A. Councilman Paul Koretz, who authored the legislation. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Paul, first off, congratulations on a very nice achievement for Los Angeles and for the animals. Paul,
hey, thank you so much. I've wanted to see this happen for years, so I'm very excited.
Oh, I bet. Well, great work. Paul, what is the law state?
Basically what it says, it was originally intended to be a ban on selling puppy mill dogs and kittens in pet stores. It actually went a little further, and it's now a complete ban on selling any commercially bred animal in a pet shop. So if dogs, cats, and rabbits are sold in a pet store, it either will come from a rescue or from an L.A. City animal shelter. So it'll be part of the solution to overpopulation rather than part of the problem.
That's so wonderful. Paul, there are a few cities with similar bans. What got Los Angeles interested in taking this up?
Well, part of it may have just been my election to the city council, because I've always been involved in animal issues, and I've been on the council for 3 years, and I started working on some animal issues from the time I got elected. So far we've banned the declawing of cats, and we've done the pet store legislation that you're speaking of. We're also looking at the possibility of removing elephants and possibly all wild animals from traveling circuses that visit L.A., and there are several other things we're looking at as well.
Yeah, and I would like to touch upon each one of those in a bit. Paul, what was the role of the organization Social Compassion Legislation in the process of the pet store ban?
Well, they are primarily involved in the animal legislation at the state level, Judy Mancuso and others who lead that effort. But they were active in supporting at the local level, organizing phone calls and sending letters and testifying before the council.
Paul, what do you think, if any, will be the effect on local animal breeders? Can they still operate normally?
Well, there's a ban in Los Angeles also on puppy mills. So if they operate as a puppy mill or a kitten mill would, and we find them, then that wouldn't be appropriate. But responsible breeders are not affected by this. It mostly targets what is really an impulse purchase. Most people that buy dogs and cats at pet stores aren't looking for the most pedigreed purebred animal. They generally are looking for a cute kitten or a cute puppy, and they could just as easily find those provided by rescues and shelters. And so it's really dealing with that impulse purchase. If someone is intently focused on buying a purebred animal, they can still go to breeders as they did before, and it won't have any impact on that.
Yeah, and I think it's really great that you
congratulations
included in the ban that the pet stores can't purchase or consign animals from local breeders for sale to consumers, correct?
Right. No commercially bred animal. It has to be either a rescue or from the animal shelter.
Yeah, that's just so wonderful, Paul. Now, the ordinance passed 12-2. What were the reasons stated for opposing its passage?
Really, the reasons were just personal connections. I don't even think either of the two council members that opposed were really strongly opposed to the whole concept. One council member who is very animal-oriented himself, Bill Rosendahl, objected to the rabbits part, which is actually probably the least significant part. But I think he was close to someone that either bred rabbits or had a pet store that was rabbit-focused. And the other council member that opposed also was very close to a particular pet shop owner. And so it really was just a personal situation. I don't think they really objected to the overall concept.
Hmm. When does it take effect, and how many businesses do you think it will impact?
Well, it's interesting. I believe it takes effect in a little over 30 days from now. The interesting thing is when I first started this effort, there are over 100 pet stores in Los Angeles, but and a number of them sold live animals. Fewer and fewer of them do. So when we last checked, there were only around 25 that still sold dogs, cats, or rabbits. Because of all the protests, some of them have shut down. Some of them have just stopped carrying the animals. And also, I think, a greater awareness and objection. So the desired effect of just having the effort, I think, did in some of those efforts. And so, it'll probably only be about 25 stores.
Yeah. And it really makes a good educational point here to consumers as to why this ban is in effect. It's really great. Paul, what penalties are associated with the ban?
I think the penalties are relatively modest. My recollection are that it's something like $250 for the first penalty and $500 for the second. But actually, you can't quote me on it.
That's okay.
Slightly inaccurate because I haven't looked at that piece of it in quite a long time since we first introduced it. I think essentially it'll be self-enforcing. We don't expect pet stores to continue to violate this law. I think there are so many consumers that know about it that we would hear about it right away if anyone continued to do it. We'd let them know, and that would probably be the end of it.
Do you think other cities will be motivated to look at similar legislation now that the second largest city in the U.S. has taken the step?
I think so, and that's the exciting part about being able to do this in Los Angeles. It's much harder to get things like this through at the state level. I think lobbyists for special interests tend to have more power at the state. At the city level, not so much. And being the second largest city in the country, I think we send a strong message. Years ago, I used to be on the West Hollywood City Council, which also is a very humane city council. But I don't think they have quite the impact that a city the size of Los Angeles has in terms of making a symbolic statement as well.
We're speaking with Los Angeles Councilmember Paul Koretz about the ban of commercially bred dogs, cats, and rabbits in Los Angeles. Paul, I think this is so great. I want you to stay with us because after the break, I want to ask you a couple other questions of the great work you've been doing, okay?
Hey, thank you. That would be my pleasure.
Okay, you're listening to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Check us out on animalstodayradio.com. Also, the show is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals at AIAnimals.org. Check it out, AIAnimals.org. Thanks so much for tuning in. Well, they said you was high-class.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
Want to really clean up for the holidays? Deck out your halls for less at Lumber Liquidators Flooring Sale. Our thickest laminates are up to 33% off. Plus, save up to 10% on all hand-scraped engineered hardwood and up to 10% on all hand-scraped bamboo. Better yet, get special extended financing, plus big savings on flooring tools and professional installation. Hurry, our flooring sale is going on now. So visit LumberLiquidators.com and find your local store today.
Guys, now's the time to update your wardrobe at Macy's Veterans Day Sale with buy one, get one free savings. Dress shirts from Sean John, Kenneth Cole Reaction, Nautica, Alfani, Tasso Elba, and more. Sport coats from Lauren, Calvin Klein, and Tasso Elba. Designer suits from Calvin Klein, Lauren, and Kenneth Cole New York. Fall's best trends, your favorite names, at buy one, get one free savings. Right now in the men's store at Macy's. Free item details in store.
How'd you like to say goodbye to your mortgage for an entire year? Yep, goodbye, ta-ta, arrivederci. That's what'll happen if you're one of up to five lucky winners in the Quicken Loans Skip a Year Mortgage Sweepstakes. Just think, no mortgage payments for one whole year. Courtesy of Quicken Loans. Go to qlskipayear.com to enter. That's qlskipayear.com. And you can enter every day. The more you enter, the better your chances of winning. There's a bunch of other prizes, too. Check them out at qlskipayear.com. You could say so long to your mortgage for an entire year. Goodbye, farewell, see you later. Adios, au revoir, hasta mañana, toodaloo. The Quicken Loans Skip a Year Mortgage Sweepstakes. One more way, Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C., 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Sweepstakes ends 11-18-12. For official rules and complete details, visit qlskipayear.com. Sponsor Quicken Loans Incorporated. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Prices are for base buildings only. May not be available in some areas.
Attention business owners, do you want a stimulus package that really works? Before you spend thousands of dollars more than you should on your next building project, listen to this. General Steel has a stimulus package designed to help you save as much as half the cost of conventional construction on your next building.
As much as half.
That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? So don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. With the projected demand for steel in Japan and China, prices may be skyrocketing.
Call 800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. 800-215-1727.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
Right now, buy 250 business cards, postcards, flyers, or brochures and get 250 free. Details in-store or at staples.com/color. Ends 11-10-12. Staples. That was easy.
Ernie, I know you're our worst player, but I want you to win this thing.
How, Coach? I've been riding the bench watching Netflix on my tablet all season.
By running the play that would never work if this were a real game.
Sorry, all I know is that Netflix lets me instantly watch as many TV episodes and movies as I want.
Listen, son, when you get the ball, just chuck it. It'll go in.
Instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
Welcome back to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're speaking with Los Angeles Councilmember Paul Koretz. Before the break, we talked about his great ban of commercially bred dog, cats, and rabbits in Los Angeles. Now, in the LA Times, Paul, Sandy Banks recently wrote a piece titled, "The City's Suffering Stray Animals Desperately Need Our Help," which was critical of Los Angeles Animal Services and specifically the delayed opening of a facility to serve South L.A. What's happening with the L.A. Animal Services as a whole, and are we adopting out more animals these days?
For a while, we're actually adopting out, I wouldn't say we're adopting out fewer animals. Our percentage was worse during the height of the recession. I think because many more animals were being brought to the shelters. A lot of people who were facing financial difficulties brought in their animals, which was a sad and unfortunate thing. But I think we've turned the corner on that. We've implemented some improved policies, and we opened an additional animal shelter in the valley that we were able to do by having a nonprofit operate it. So a few things are going well, but not as well as we'd like. We still have a long way to go, and we're still euthanizing many too many animals.
Yeah. Now, Paul, the ban of commercially bred dogs, cats, and rabbits in L.A. Was not your first project in animal welfare. Tell us about AB 1857, which had to do with the clawing of big cats.
Well, that was originally intended to ban declawing of all cats in the state of California. But the Veterinary Medical Association, which has been somewhat powerful at the state level, was able to prevent that. So as a compromise that didn't affect the business of very many vets, we were able to ban declawing of exotic cats at the state level, which at least was a step in the right direction. I was termed out of the legislature, and I ran for the L.A. City Council in 2009. And when it was obvious that I was going to get elected and had the potential to do the same thing in L.A., the Veterinary Medical Association created a huge coalition with every other medical specialty, from podiatrists to acupuncturists to physical therapists. They tried to get every single medical specialty on board with legislation that said a local entity couldn't regulate medicine of any kind, including veterinary medicine. So that was really intended to prevent me from passing a ban on declawing in Los Angeles. They made a big mistake, though, and they didn't pass it as an urgency ordinance, so as an urgency law. So it only went into effect at the end of December 2009. So basically what they did is they gave every city that wanted to consider a ban on cat declawing a deadline, an urgency. So I got elected in July of 2009. I immediately went to my colleagues and said, this might not be your top priority, but we can only do this if it passes by the end of the year. And so it was rushed through, despite the fact that we had a $700 million shortfall in our budget, and that was obviously everybody's top priority. This wouldn't have gotten that priority except for the deadline. And a bunch of other cities like San Francisco did the same thing. So by passing this legislation, they gave every city a deadline, and I believe 10 cities passed a ban on cat declawing locally, which probably never would have happened otherwise. So their effort to prevent me from doing it in Los Angeles backfired. It actually probably led to the legislation passing, and now with all the cities in California having done it, there's the opportunity for animal welfare organizations to point this out at all over the country at state houses, and hopefully pass similar legislation throughout the nation.
Paul, why do you think the state vet associations and the veterinarians typically resist this legislation when we all know it's an inhumane, cruel, unnecessary, and painful procedure for the cats?
I think it has nothing to do with whether or not it harms the cats and hurts them and cripples them and causes all kinds of problems, which I don't think we need to go into here. I think it's just that it damages the business of some vets. And the Veterinary Medical Association, I think where it's easy, protects the welfare of animals, but what seems to come first is protecting their level of business. And especially some of the vets have put money into laser equipment for these. So they're a little more accurate, but still with great frequency the animals have discomfort and serious problems. And they don't want to lose the money that they've invested. So it's really a shame, but I think that is the top priority for the association.
It is a shame. Paul, let's move on to other other efforts. How about dog tethering? What was that legislation passed, and what is at state?
Well, I was the principal co-author of that, along with State Senator Alan Lowenthal, who just got elected to Congress, as a matter of fact, which is very exciting. And it bans tethering of dogs for lengthy periods of time. And we saw some of the most disgusting examples of this. There were actually dogs that had been tethered in their backyard so continuously that the collar actually had dug into their throats and then flesh had grown over it. So the collar was actually embedded in around their necks.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they're so many really terrible health and mental health results of the worst of these practices that we felt it necessary to ban tethering of dogs for lengthy periods of time. And that's essentially what the bill does.
Oh, that's so great. Now, you are also trying to increase the number of companion animals a household can have in L.A. Is that correct?
Yes. Right now, the maximum you're allowed to have is three dogs or three cats. And we're looking at ways to reduce the euthanization level at the shelters. And obviously the best way, there are really two best ways. One is to engage in more spaying and neutering so that there are fewer animals out there to overpopulate. And the other is to adopt more animals out of the shelters. And when we look at how to market it, obviously the most likely suspects are people that already have animals. So we're looking at increasing the numbers of dogs and cats from three to five, maybe more. Obviously, if you have three cats, adopting one or two more cats would probably not be a great difficulty. And there's some people that do it anyway, but if it's legal, there would be many more. And so this is an opportunity to increase adoptions and reduce euthanization.
Yeah. Really good. Paul, I want you to describe what happened to the bill which would have banned the use of dogs to hunt bears. Didn't such law get passed recently in the state of California?
Yes, I was excited and surprised because when I carried it, it was probably the bill that went down to the most resounding defeat of anything that I carried or maybe anything I'd even seen. When I carried the bill, we were completely surprised because it was the first effort. 500 hunters at least showed up wearing fatigues, and I suspect some of them were armed in the Capitol to a hearing room where they completely took every seat in a two-level hearing room where the second level rarely had more than one or two people. And they flooded both of those levels. No one had ever seen those rooms completely filled. And when my bill came up, all of them stood up in unison, folded their hands, and made a menacing look at the members of the committee, and they never stood down until the issue was over. And I believe there were 21 members of the committee, and I got three votes, which were fewer than the number of co-authors I had among members of the committee. And when I asked one of my previous supporters of the bill why he didn't vote for it, he said, "I never want to see those people again. I never want to see them in my office again. I just wanted this bill to die fast." So they really intimidated everybody. This time I think people weren't so surprised because it had happened before. And instead of the hearing rooms being completely flooded with only opponents wearing their hunting gear, there were also a lot of people that showed up early on the yes side. And I think it just wasn't quite as intimidating. And the issue itself is so obvious, and it's very popular with California voters, that you shouldn't hunt bears with dogs.
Right.
Have them run the bears up a tree and then shoot them at such point-blank range that I could hit them every time. And I'm certainly not a hunter.
It sure is. Paul, I want to thank you so much for your great work. This is Paul Koretz, Los Angeles Council Member. Thanks so much, Paul.
Hey, thank you. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Don't go away. Peter in the News up next.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org. That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Look. It's Lord Horsey.
They say he has instant access to a wealth of entertainment. A most appropriate suitor.
He is of Netflix. Lavishes $8 a month on thousands of TV episodes and movies.
I heard he watches them over the internet.
Pish posh, it's the 1700s. Internet doesn't exist yet.
Oh, do hush, child.
Instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
just like monkey. Let's leave Chicago to the Eskimo. That town, a little bit too rugged for you and me, you bad girl.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Lori Kirscher. And we have Dr. Peter Spiegel with us.
Hey, Lori.
Hi. How's it going?
Hi.
Good. Hi. So what do we have going on in the news these days?
Well, I want to tell you, which you may not know this, but there are two states that have the weakest laws on animal abuse concerning penalties. And they are
Missouri,
North and South Dakota.
Okay.
And so they have no felony animal abuse penalties.
Oh, yeah.
So this went up. For a vote this week in North Dakota, and the voters defeated a measure which would have increased protection to animals. So still no more felony penalty punishment for certain extreme animal cruelty cases. And the usual players were involved. You've got the agricultural people claiming that the humane societies are trying to regulate the consumption of food through legislation like this. And then you've got the animal welfare people who just want a little sensible legislation. And it went down handily. They about 65% voted no. So,
you know, it's a senseless argument what the farm industry tries to make, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's their fear tactics.
That they say it's just one step closer to banning the sale of foods.
Right.
Right.
Right. So
can it hurt? Have some legislation against cruelty towards animals.
I know. It doesn't make sense to me.
It does not make sense. What else she got?
Hillary Clinton, she's spoken out about wildlife.
You're talking about politics?
She's talking about wildlife trafficking.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, of all the things that she should be paying attention to.
I just need a break on politics.
I know,
right
I'm
now.
Sorry. I guess
okay,
I
go ahead.
That up, but she was speaking to a meeting at the U.S. Department of State.
Yeah.
Where she says that we needed to address wildlife trafficking, which
right.
We've talked about before. And
sure.
A huge problem.
Sure.
Illegal, with partnerships with non-governmental organizations and government organizations need to work together. And so the nonprofits and the non-government organizations who are focused on this welcome her statement, acknowledging that this is an issue. And we've talked about how big an industry internationally wildlife trafficking is. After illegal weapons and drugs, it's the third largest illegal industry there is. And all those animals, most of them are killed as they're harvested or transported before they get to their final destination.
So sad.
Where they can't even be cared for properly.
Right.
Anyway, not to mention the devastation in their natural habitats and ecosystems. So
yeah.
From our perspective, it's a huge problem. What Hillary says a couple words about it, whether that makes anything happen, who knows?
Right.
So,
right.
But at least she said it.
Yeah.
You are burnt out from this politics.
I am. I am. I want to shut my mind off from that.
Okay. So some dogs, let's go to domestic dogs. And your typical average dog can learn up to 165 words. Did you know that?
No.
Yes. Not our dogs, because they refuse.
They don't even know what no means.
They don't know what no means. No means maybe. Maybe.
No means you can do it when we're not watching.
There are some dogs, however, who have been called super dogs. They can learn up to 250 words. That also was from an article in Psychology Today. And there's a particular border collie has a vocabulary of 1,022 words. Okay, he can he can identify 800 cloth animals, 116 different balls, 26 frisbees, and a bunch of plastic items.
Wow.
So go get your spoon. He will go sniff out a spoon, I guess, or something.
Wow.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, moreover, the dogs have this uncanny ability, as you know, to pick up on human gestures. So if you're looking somewhere, they know where to look. If you start yawning, they can mimic your yawn. That's probably from all those, you know, years evolving together.
Right.
So the latest in dog research, we're not really into animal research here, but you can train a dog to lie in an MRI scanner or a PET scanner, right? Unrestrained, unsedated, just train him to lay there still. And then you can scan his brain in real time while you're presenting him different objects and see how the brain reacts.
Wow.
And so we're going to be learning more and more about animals and dogs in particular, luckily without having to bolt their heads to some apparatus, which is...
And who are these experimental dogs we're experimenting on?
Well, they're probably pets.
People are willing to say, oh, use my companion animal.
Well, you never know where they source out some of these animals, but at least they're not killing them.
Yeah, I guess not.
Okay, I know.
Okay.
And then there's this elephant in Korea. There's a zoo elephant, and this elephant allegedly is able to say 5 Korean words very, very clearly, vocalize. And this elephant takes his trunk and puts it in his mouth to manipulate the way that the sounds emanate. And they say it sounds just like the Korean words for hello, sit down, no, lie down, and good.
Stick your fist in your mouth and try to say those Korean words.
Right. Try to speak Korean with your hand in your mouth.
Right, exactly.
It's not as easy. But there is a YouTube on this, and it's remarkable. I don't know what a good Korean word sounds like, but the crowd goes crazy.
Okay, but same question I always have. How was the elephant trained to do this?
This animal apparently taught himself.
Oh, really?
He was lonely, and he developed this novel method of vocal communication.
I don't believe that.
You're skeptical.
I am skeptical. I don't believe that. Okay. Well thank you, Peter.
You're welcome. Okay. See you next week.
See you next week. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Thanks for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
Thanks, John.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.